Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
It's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Oh, and welcome to March Madness SEC Tournament style. We have moved our Georgia's Own Credit Union studios up the highway a little bit, up here to Nashville, the site of the SEC Tournament. And tonight, the Georgia Bulldogs will take the hardwood at Bridgestone Arena, taking on Missouri as they begin play in the SEC Tournament. And joining us now, a good friend of the show, assistant coach Brian Fish. And, Coach, I'm so excited that we're going to get to play that Thursday game that got jerked out from under us last year.
Yeah, Chuck, first of all, thanks for having me on. You know, it's kind of eerie. You're sitting here a year ago today, and you think about what's happened in your life in the last 365 days. It's eerie. And, you know, to be back here, to be in the Nashville and pick up to where we left off last year and probably playing as well as we had played all year against Ole Miss, and now we get a chance to play Missouri, the most experienced team, obviously, in our league, is exciting, but it's certainly it's different.
You know, and Coach, that brings up an interesting point. Is at this time of the year you want to be playing your best basketball? And I felt last year, and I think the coaching staff felt the same, that we were playing some of our very best basketball as we hit the SEC tournament, as I think Ole Miss would testify to. So tell me, give me a read on where we are right now, or is it difficult to say?
Well, I think most importantly is I think this team's improved as much as any team that I've been a part of in 32 years of basketball, because I think of so many unknowns. I mean, we're one of the few teams, we played all our games. Now, we didn't play everybody we were supposed to, but we played everybody. We've had, you know, we dealt with COVID the first game of the year and stuff, and the uncertainties and developments and things like that, with the addition of KD after, you know, 9-10 games. I think this year's been like any other, like none other, excuse me. And, you know, we're sitting here, we're starting to get a feel of our team. The leadership that Sevier has started to show has been fun to watch, you know, and as a sophomore and Tumani develop, you know, those guys are young guys and they've all changed. You know, a lot of times I've always referred to basketball in baseball analogies. And when you go from hitting, you know, seventh, eighth in the lineup to now you're hitting fourth and you're expected to hit home runs and drive in runs, the pressure changes. And I think I think Sevier's adapted to that, and it's allowed us to develop. I think we are. I think the other day, very disappointing loss against Alabama. But when you go back and watch the tape, we played a lot of good basketball in that game. It's just Alabama's, you know, they're real deal. Now they're a top two seed for a reason, and number one seed overall in the SEC for a reason. And we were a player here or there from upsetting the number six team in the country.
Fair to say that if we could just get a little more consistent at avoiding those sometimes those little droughts that we'll hit inside a game, that really we'd take a huge step forward.
Yeah, well, I think anytime you start to get to this time of year, teams have, you know, things that they don't do well or they struggle with, and they do, and you don't know what those will be back in October, November when you start practice, and you know what has made us a really good basketball team is when we could score consistently and get the ball moving and get it side to side and attack and do those things. So yeah, Chuck, you're exactly right. But you know, Missouri's dealing with their issues too that they have to deal with. The key is that at 6 o'clock Nashville time today that we have our team ready to play and ready to, you know, fight through adversity and try to make this a 40-minute game, because when we've made it 40-minute games, I like how our dog team basketball is played.
Well, now you mentioned Missouri and the opponent tonight, and I got to tell you, I look back over the season, and I thought our win against Missouri was one of the more impressive. Not the fact that we beat Missouri, but the way we came from behind late, made a great – I mean, we were down in the second half, made a terrific run.
13 points. Yeah, no, 13 points. I mean, it was one of those games, and it was great to see because, you know, Ben, when I was back at Creighton, when I was back at Oregon, Kwanzo was the head coach at Missouri State and at Cal, and so I've had a tremendous amount of respect for the head coach at Missouri and how his teams have played, and to be able to come back in that game and come back from double figures behind in the second half and turn it into a double figure win, I agree with you, Chuck. That was a very proud moment for this, for me personally and this basketball team, because that is a very good basketball team. And I think if you look at it, they're one of the older 20 teams in America. To do that and get that done was a tremendous step in the right direction. And then you look back at that 5-6 game stretch that we had there, we were playing some really, really good teams, the best of the SEC. And so we had to play well to get that win, and I thought we did.
Talking with Coach Brian Fish of the University of Georgia basketball team. And, Coach, finishing up here with you, if I tell you that Georgia wins this game tonight, what do you tell me that we did well?
I would say we handled, you know, they've added Tillman. Obviously, we feel like they're going to try to make him a point of emphasis when you're 6'11 and 2, you know, 50, 60, whatever he is, that we've handled how we want to play him defensively, that we got out and got some easy baskets, we got going downhill, and we got our defensive rotations right. I mean, it's to beat this team, you got to play a complete basketball game, and like we did, you know, when we beat them at home. So if you say we're going to win and we say we win, I would say we played one of our most complete basketball games, offensive and defensive.
Well, let's get that done tonight. I would certainly like to stay here in Nashville a little while longer, but
beautiful town. Let's stay. Let's enjoy it. It's fun to be back. It's fun to be here, and it's good to have you here. It's eerie and it's strange because of how everything's done, but, boy, is it exciting to get a chance to play in the tournament again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And they owe us one, you know, from last year. So, because we were literally walking out of the building last year when we got word that it was all finished and we could go home. So they definitely owe us one. But Coach Brian Fish of the University of Georgia, thank you so much, Coach, and best
Chuck,
of luck tonight.
Thanks for having me on, buddy.
All right, good to see you. All right, Coach Brian Fish here at the University of Georgia joining us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk with the voice of the dog, Scott Howard. He's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. I got to laugh a little bit. You know, we are on Central Time here in Nashville. And Scott Howard, who, of course, will be calling the game tonight on the Bulldog Radio Network, was going to be with us here. And I got a feeling that Scott may be either A, sleeping in, or B, messed up on time. But one or the other, Adam Gillespie. Here with us, and Adam, I know you had to make the drive up last night to get here to Nashville. I mean, Scott has no excuse. We've been here since Tuesday.
Yeah, you would think the subtract one wouldn't be that hard of a time change to just grasp a hold of, but maybe he just forgot to set his alarm on Central Time instead of Eastern Time.
All I know is that tip tonight's at 6 o'clock Central. He better be behind the mic and ready to go. One of the things, though, that we were talking about, I know that you would remember this, is last year when this all fell apart on us. It was 1 year ago, in fact. It was the Thursday of the SEC tournament. Only Georgia had to play on the Wednesday game. There were two games that year, last year, and we played one of them, beat Ole Miss. So there was a lot of excitement about going over, getting ready to go play Florida on Thursday. And then suddenly word came that we had heard the day before that we might be playing with limited audiences. Now, we played with a full house on Wednesday, but we were told that there may be restricted attendance on Thursday. They may do that, but boy, the difference between restricted attendance and tournament over and then what we went through for the following 364 days has been amazing.
Yeah, it kind of went from 0 to 60 in, 1.1 seconds. And, we were at the arena, Bridgestone Arena, here in Nashville Wednesday night playing our game. News was breaking of other conferences starting to cancel or limit fans or no fans. And then, like you said, we started hearing about our conference doing the limited fans, how many fans were schools going to get, and we were literally in the lobby where we are right now of this hotel and walking out to the car through these doors to our left here, and we got a text that says
we're off,
don't
we're
go
done.
the tournament is canceled, and so we got in our car and went on home, and it's surreal to think that a year ago, and I know for some people it may have taken a little longer than they hoped it would or wanted it to, and there's a lot of critical points, but I think we've come a long way since that 1 year today to where, we have the vaccine out. They're getting it to as many people as they can as fast as possible. And things are starting to open up. Georgia has been a shining star, I feel.
Both football and basketball.
Yeah, was it Fish, or I can't remember if it was Coach McClain we were talking to right before the show. So talking about, we got our games in. It was Fish, right? It was, yep. Coach Fish. We got our games in. They weren't all against the same opponents, but we got our games in, and that was basically – for football, did very well too. The only game that canceled was not our fault. It was the other team, the local team here in Nashville.
Yeah.
But a lot of credit has to be given to Ron Corson. I don't think enough can be said for what he has done and the procedures that he has implemented for the athletics, not just football and basketball. Around the whole campus, all the athletics.
Well, the conference in general has done yeoman work. Greg Sankey and his staff, and a tip of the hat to them. Here we are now, a year later, and while there was a lot of concern about even getting, the dynamics are different for basketball playing indoors, which was also a potential problem given where we were at the start of the basketball season. There was a potential problem with COVID playing indoors, but we managed to do that with limited crowds. So some fans did get an opportunity to enjoy SEC basketball. We were able to get in a huge number of games. And, there were some teams that struggled. There's no doubt. Texas A&M, chief among them, yes. And there were others that missed some games along the way. But at the end of the day, the SEC was able to get in an acceptable schedule to get this tournament set up here in Nashville where it was scheduled, again, with limited capacity. But there will be, I think the count I heard was 3,400 fans in attendance. Then the fans get to stay. Let's point this out, too. Different from us, when we finish broadcasting our game, we get ejected from the building. We got to leave. The fans can stay for the session.
They have tickets, two
games, and they can stay for that. We don't get that opportunity. So proper precautions are being taken at every step where they think they can improve the chances of keeping everybody healthy and getting this tournament in.
It's so much so. You're talking about us not being able to stay for the second game or any other games other than our own, and the fans get their two games in their session. The coaches from other teams can't even go in and do live scouting this year. They have to do everything remotely. Even the coaches' staff, coaching staff is, well, that's not a word, is it?
Staffs,
there we go. The coaching staffs from all the schools have to do it remotely. They can only be in the building when their team is scheduled to play. So they're taking that extra step to make sure that everything is safe and everyone is safe. And I guess that's also to not try to make sure that you don't, I can't think of the word that we use now, but you and me sitting next to each other, I would contaminate you, you know.
The social distancing.
Yeah, making the social distancing to get that and making sure that that doesn't get back to the teams, I guess, from the live coaching.
Well, we certainly have our fingers crossed that all of this goes safely. They did get in a game last night. That is one thing that is different about this year's tournament. Auburn self-imposed because they were facing some NCAA sanctions. They self-imposed a ban on postseason play this year. So that left only 13 teams. And with only 13 teams, that left only one game for the opening, the Wednesday schedule. And so Vanderbilt won over Texas A&M last night at Bridgestone Arena. So Vanderbilt now advances to play Florida. And in the meantime, everybody else will kick into action that are not among the top four seeds. The top four seeds all start on Friday, but everybody else will begin today. And that does mean that Georgia will take the floor again in the SEC tournament, thankfully, at 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight against Missouri. And as you just heard Coach Fish say, you know, we got to play a complete game. If we can do that, we got a chance to perhaps get out of here with a win. That would be great. Get a win here in the tournament and then move forward, see what tomorrow brings.
And that's been something that has been a struggle for them this season, in my opinion. They've either come out and struggled in that first half and dug a hole too big that they just haven't been able to dig out of it just quite enough in the second half. They've gotten it really close and got it down within single digits and in times after digging that hole in the first half, but just not enough to overcome it in the second half completely. So that's right. If they can just play two halves of basketball, this is a team that we beat in Athens earlier this year. So we know we can do it when we play the right game. And we did overcome a big deficit in the second half.
13 points.
Yeah, of that game in Athens. So I think this club has the mental mobility to know that they can beat the Tigers tonight. And, well, and I don't know why you keep saying it. As far as I'm concerned, we won the SEC tournament last year. We won the only game played over Ole Miss, or the last game played. And as far as I'm concerned, that makes us the champions.
The champions of the 2020 SEC tournament. Well, we will certainly keep our fingers crossed that things go well tonight. And remind me, Scott Howard owes us dinner tonight. You know, we're going to dock We're going to dock his pay. That's for sure. And hopefully he'll remember to show up for the game tonight so that you and I aren't stuck having to call all the action.
We don't want this happening tonight, trust me.
All right, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you a guy that will join us, Dane Bradshaw, former Tennessee star, now with the SEC Network, and he'll be calling the action on television tonight for the SEC Network as Georgia takes on Missouri. So stay with us here. Back after this.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan, now on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. And tonight, when you turn in on the SEC Network to catch the Dogs taking on Mizzou, and hopefully a Dogs victory, part of that broadcast team, Dane Bradshaw, former Tennessee star, now with the SEC Network, and many nights you can catch him carrying Mike Morgan. Tonight, I don't think you've got Mike tonight to worry, so you won't have that burden on you. But Dane, it's awfully good to talk to you and appreciate your time. I know you'll be doing the color and the analyst position tonight on the broadcast. And Georgia and Missouri, you know, Dogs won the first one, but Missouri wasn't at full strength in that one.
You're right, and Georgia really took advantage of some opportunities inside the paint. They were able to get to the rim, shot it pretty well. Jeremiah Tillman, big man from Missouri, can be inconsistent, but he's been a big key for Missouri this year, which Georgia had the benefit of not having him in there. But give Georgia credit. They rallied in that second half against Missouri. This time of the year is always so interesting in the conference tournaments across the country because the familiarity is there. It's one thing to see teams on tape. It's another to have played against them once, twice, and for many teams, this might be the third time they've seen each other in the SEC tournament. So a lot of it kind of comes down to, can you throw a few wrinkles in there and learn from the previous game? Yes, but you're not going to just completely change your game plan or the identity of your team. So a lot of it does just come down to your personnel, how well those individual players play. Can they make shots in a unique arena? And Missouri is certainly going to be a slugfest. This is a team that is they're capable of scoring much more than they were in years past, where Missouri, they prefer to win those games in the 60s, which I think Konzo Martin's DNA is still that way. But he's starting to let them play a lot more this year, faster pace. So if they got to get in the game into the 80s, they can still win that way too. So in years past, I would have looked at this to be a really low-scoring affair. But in this one, I think both coaches want to get out and run as much as they can.
Yeah, get it up and down the floor and get it in the air. And as a former guard, you love that. I'm sure you love that style of play. But, Dane, just give me your read. You've called a few of these Georgia games. Give me your read on this Bulldog basketball team because I got to tell you from where I sit, been a bit of a head scratcher. I mean, no doubt the back end of the schedule has been very loaded as far as difficult opponents for the Dogs. But some, they come out and they play great, or they play great a half and then not so great a half, or sometimes, as in the case of South Carolina, just never got it going.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm actually in the middle of researching it now. You guys might already know, but I got to think in the past 3 years – that Georgia, if they're not at the bottom, they got to be last, second or at best third to last in 3-point percentage. They just do not have consistent shooters. Like, hey, can Kyer make some? Yeah. Can Wheeler make them every once in a while? Could Kamara make some? Yeah. But in terms of consistency, the past 3 years, 267th in the country, 319th in the country, 282nd in the country this year. When you want to space the floor out the way they do, which, again, that's amazing how Wheeler can get in the paint so much when you're not really spreading out with a ton of three-point threats. And it's not that they have just bad shooters. They have capable guys. But, yeah. Man, just not the consistency. And for Tom Crean, I think most coaches would tell you, look, if you're not going to be a good shooter, just don't be a good shooter. Let me know what I'm going to have game in, game out, because it is so difficult to sit in that locker room and look around and be like, well, if so-and-so gives us this tonight, and if he gives
exactly.
us that night, I don't think they know what they're going to get game in, game out.
Yeah, Dane, that's true in all sports. I mean, coaches much prefer to know what they're getting from a guy, even if it's not a lot. At least they know, okay, I can pencil that in for sure.
Well, I think that's where you see a guy like Jackson Edder getting some playing time. I mean, he was great in that Missouri win, but it's just like, hey, are we better with you on the court? Can I trust you out there? You're going to do your job. But I tell you one thing. I do, from just a future standpoint, not knowing who all will be back, this and that. But, I love the pop and the energy. He's not perfect. But, man, KD Johnson, I love the way he can bring things to the table from an energy and passion perspective. When you got guys like him, Kamara and Wheeler, I mean, that's a pretty good trio when you think about potential for next year and adding some pieces. But, again, I think they've just – the three-point shot has become so big in today's game.
Yeah.
And, when I mentioned those numbers over the past 3 years, think about how many games Georgia could win if they could just be not an elite three-point team, but just at least half or at the midpoint mark of the NCAA of 350-plus teams. If they could just be 175th, you know, I mean, that's you're talking about a few wins a year.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's look at it this way. Can you imagine what Sevier would be able to do if there were actually three-point shooters that defenses had to honor on that perimeter?
Oh, absolutely. And they space it really well. And the other thing that I think can be a challenge at times is, you know, they talk about the four-point line that they have kind of spacing. And I haven't been to a practice this year because of the COVID restrictions. But typically they might have a four-point line to emphasize the spacing that they want to have. Well, you know, again, that at times that can make it even more challenging. It's one thing when John Petty for Alabama is stepping into a shot that's a little bit outside the three-point line. It's another thing when you're asking, you know, guys like Justin Kyer who are good shooters but maybe not, you know, natural great shooters. So I think that the quality of their looks from deep can hurt them at times. But again, it kind of goes back to the personnel situation. But look, you do see some positives. I totally agree with you with Wheeler and his ability to get in the lane, create for others. But you know that when I look at these guys too, that they don't really have some of the weaknesses I see is, and some of it's intentional, I guess, but they don't have a great post up option. Horn has been a good pick and pop. He's helped with their spacing, no question. But when they want to get the ball down inside, can they get it there and be effective without just saying Wheeler go and drive? And, you know, they post up Kamara every now and then, but they don't get great looks on any sort of post up plays. And some of that's by design because they're not always high quality looks. But to me, there's just so few break you down guys. You know, KD Johnson can do it some, but then a lot of it is Wheeler going in amongst the trees where, you know, he's going in there against so much traffic, and it's kind of a roll of the dice at times.
Yeah, it's so tough, you know, when you get in there with the trees, as you say, you know, to get it up over them. He's pretty good at it, but it's tough. And Dane, to tell you just how accurate your analysis is, going into this season, Tom Crean told me, he said, you know, he felt like, he said, if we could have made five more three-point shots last year, going back and looking at the games, there were certain games, he said, just five more, it would have equated to three more Georgia victories last season. Yeah. So he knew coming into this year that they've got to improve, and I do not think that he's quite gotten it to the level, as you point out, where he wants to get it, even if they could get somewhere in the middle of the pack in the NCAA.
And I think it can be, and to a degree, it's less is more. As you look at the stats from that first Missouri game, Georgia was 7 of 15 from 3. Look, that's a great percentage, 47%. But I think a bigger key is they only took 15 threes. So much more selective on which ones they're going to take. And if I'm Tom Crean, I'm saying, all right, we can't rely on our offense to win the three-point game within the game. So we got to defend the heck out of the three-point line. And that's something they did in that Missouri game. Missouri was 6 of 26 from deep. So that's, to me, that's if you don't have the natural shooters, then that's how you win the three-point battle, is saying, all right, well, we got to lock in and defend the heck out of that three-point line, which I think they're very capable of doing, not just because of the last matchup against Missouri, but Missouri doesn't have a ton of natural three-point shooters either. So I could see that being a big key in this game tonight.
Dane, listen, I appreciate your time this morning, as always, buddy. It's great to talk to you and get some of your insight into what to look for tonight. But again, Dane Bradshaw, who will be calling this game tonight, doing the color for the SEC Network as the Dogs take on Missouri, 7 o'clock tip, and you won't want to miss that because we've got our fingers crossed. Hope the Dogs can pull an upset here in the opening in their opening round of the SEC. So, Dane, thank you very much, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right. Dane Bradshaw with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. Our thanks to all of you for being with us. Don't forget, again tonight, Dogs in Mizzou, 7 o'clock out of Nashville, Bridgestone Arena. Keep your fingers crossed, and let's have a great Bulldog day, everybody.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.